वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयेत् नष्टप्रायेषु भद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवति उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी कृष्णे स्वधामोपगते धनमग्नानारिभिः सह कलौ नष्टदृशामेष पुराणार्कोऽधुनोदितः ग्रंथराज श्रीमद् भागवतम की जय। दिस इज कैंटो 5 चैप्टर 5 लॉर्ड ऋषभदेव्स टीचिंग्स। टुडे वी आर ऑन टेक्स्ट नंबर 27।
मनः वचः दृक् करण इहितस्य साक्षात्कृतं मे परब्रह्मणं हि विना पुमान् येन महाविमोहात् कृतान्तपाशात् न विमुक्तुम् ईशेत् मनोवचोदृक्करणे हितस्य साक्षात्कृतं मे परब्रह्मणं हि विना पुमान्येन महाविमोहात् कृतान्तपाशान्न विमोक्तुमीशेत् मनोवचोदृक्करणे हितस्य साक्षात्कृतं मे परब्रह्मणं हि विना पुमान्येन महाविमोहात् कृतान्तपाशान्न विमोक्तुमीशेत् मनोवचोदृक्करणे हितस्य साक्षात्कृतं मे परब्रह्मणं मे विमा पुमान्येन महाविमोहात् कृतान्तपाशान्न विमोक्तुमीशेत्। मनोवचोदृक्करणे हितस्य साक्षात्कृतं मे परब्रह्मणं हि विमा पुमान्येन महाविमोहात् कृतान्तपाशान्न विमोक्तुमीशेत् मनोवचोदृक्करणे हितस्य साक्षात्कृतं मे परब्रह्मणं हि विमा पुमान्येन महाविमोहात् कृतान्तपाशान्न विमोक्तुमीशेत्।
Ladies.
Manova Chodrik Karane Hitasya.
Sakshat Kritam Ne Parivarhanam Hi.
Vima Pumanye Namaha Vimohat.
Kritanta Pashana Vimoktam Ishet.
Manova Chodrik Karane Hitasya.
Sakshat Kritam Me Parivarhanam Hi.
Anyena Mahavimohat.
Kritanta Pashana Vimoktam Ishet.
Manovacho Trikkarane Hitasya.
Sakshat Kritam Me Parivarhanam Hi.
Vima Punanyena Mahavimohat.
Kritanta Pashana Vimoktam Ishet.
Manaha.
Mind.
Vachaha,
words.
Drik,
sight.
Karana,
of the senses.
Ihitasya,
of all activities.
For maintenance
of body,
society,
friendship,
and so on.
Sakshat kritam,
directly offered.
Me,
of me.
Parivarhanam,
worship.
He,
because.
Vina,
without.
Puman,
any person.
Yena,
which.
Mahavimohat,
from the great illusion.
Kritanta Pashat,
exactly like the stringent rope of Yamaraj.
Na,
not.
Vimoktum,
to become free.
Ishet,
becomes able.
Translation.
The true activity of the sense organs, mind, sight, words, and all the knowledge gathering and working senses, is to engage fully in my service. Unless his senses are thus engaged, a living entity cannot think of getting out of the great entanglement of material existence, which is exactly like Yamaraja's stringent rope. Please repeat. The true activity
of the sense organs,
mind,
sight,
words,
and all the knowledge gathering
and working senses,
is to engage fully
in my service.
Unless his senses are thus engaged,
a living entity
cannot think of getting out
of the great entanglement
of material existence,
which is exactly like
Yamaraja's stringent rope.
Purport by Srila Prabhupada.
As stated in the Narad Pancharatra,
Saravopadhivinirmuktam tatparatvena nirmalam Hrishikena Hrishikesha sevanam bhaktirucyate.
This is the conclusion of bhakti.
All the time, Lord Rishabhadev has been stressing devotional service,
and now he is concluding
by saying that all the senses should be engaged in the Lord's service. There are five senses by which we gather knowledge, and five senses with which we work. These 10 senses and the mind should be fully engaged in the Lord's service. Without engaging them in this way, one cannot get out of the clutches of Maya. Om Agnanta Timirantasya Gnananjanashalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guroho Shri Uttapadakamalam Shri Gurum Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vansha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare Manovacho drikkarane hitasya sakshatkritam me paribarhanam hi Vinapuman yena mahavimohat kritanta pashan navimoktumichet. The true activity of the sense organs, mind, sight, and words, and all the knowledge gathering and working senses, is to engage fully in my service. Unless his senses are thus engaged, a living entity cannot think of getting out of the great entanglement of material existence, which is exactly like Yamaraja's stringent rope. This is a very simple verse, but it's a very important one. This is the concluding verse of Lord Rishabhadev's teachings to his son. Nearly four decades ago, I was sitting in the temple room in Mayapur for the Srimad Bhagavatam class. In those days, the only temple room was what is now, what is it, the Chakra building? And the temple room was on the ground floor of that building. Radha Madhava, well, there were no Panchatattva deities, there was no Prahlad Narasingha Dev, there were no eight gopis, there were no big deities, only the small Radha Madhava and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And they had a small room at the end of the temple room facing the Ganga. Just a small room, not bigger than one of these altars. At the other end of the temple room was Srila Prabhupada's Vyasasana. Nowadays, that section is, I think, roped off. There was at one time a diorama display there, but I don't know what they're doing with it. But Srila Prabhupada sat there and gave the Srimad Bhagavatam class. But when I was there in 1978, Srila Prabhupada had just left this world only a few months before. 4 months before. And so, for the first time at the International Mayapur Festival, all of his disciples were giving a class instead. And on this particular day that I can recall, Brahmananda Prabhu was speaking, and he was speaking on this section of the Srimad Bhagavatam, the instructions given by Lord Rishabhadev to his 100, to his sons. Maybe he spoke from the first verse, I don't remember. At any rate, Shishi Gornitai, Shishi Krishna Balaram, Sri Lalita Vishaka Sahitaratha Shyamasundara Kije. He spoke on the importance of these instructions that were given by Rishabhadev to his son. And the class that he gave was only about 3 or 4 sentences long. That was the entire class. He said, these are valuable instructions being given by Rishabhadev to his sons. And he became pensive for a moment and he said, I didn't receive these kinds of instructions from my father. And then after a second or two, he said, and then I met my real father. And then he broke down and began to cry. And he could not finish the class, and that was the end of it. So that was a memorable experience for me. Anyway, so this is an important verse, according to Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. This is the in concluding, he wants to stress that the real purpose of all these senses is to engage them in the service of the Lord. This is his idea. This is the characteristic of bhakti, that one is engaged. Because without this kind of engagement, nistara bhavam cha, there's no question of becoming freed from material entanglement. So a few words are significant here. First of all, what does karana mean? The word karana is used here. Anybody know what does it mean? Mano vachodrik karana ihitasya. Karana? Instrument, it also means one's sense organs. Karana can mean an activity in general, it can also mean a cause. And therefore, when you have a secretary who writes things down for you, he's also called a karana. A gopher, we say in English. So karana, what do we have to work with? This is karana. These are the senses. It's all we have. And we're lucky if they all work, because sometimes you don't get that facility. Sometimes your karma is such that you don't have a full set of working senses, or your mind is not in good order. That's a great disadvantage. It's a sinful reaction. So we have for a short time a window of opportunity to take advantage of this body and the senses that are in good working order, assuming that that's the case for most of us. So this is karana. It means instrument, it means cause, it means an action, it means the sense organs. In this context, of course, it means the sense organs. And then the next word is ihita. Ihita literally means something which is attempted, something that you've tried to do, something that you've sought after, something that is desired. Sometimes it's therefore used as a noun, which means that it's a request or a wish or some effort that you make. And Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has glossed this word in his commentary as vyapara. People who speak Indian languages, they know what the word vyapara means. It means your dealings, your function, your business also. So the business of the senses, the functions of the senses, are actually meant to serve Krishna. We think when we come into material existence under the influence of this Mahavimoha, the great illusion, we assume erroneously that these senses are meant for whatever I choose to do with them. That's not the case. That's not the case. They're actually meant for Krishna's pleasure. So ihita means we should desire, the things that we should desire or attempt with our senses should be actually for Krishna's pleasure. And then sakshat krita means directly, not indirect devotional service, but direct devotional service. This is another thing Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has clarified. And finally, paribarhana. This is not a very common word, even in Sanskrit. Does anyone know what is, or remember what does paribarhana mean? It actually means worship. In the dictionary, if you look up paribarhana, you'll see that it means worship or adoration. But the source of that definition in the dictionary is cited as Srimad Bhagavatam, probably this verse. So we've come for full circle, haven't we? It's just a nice example to show that we don't know what words mean by looking in the dictionary, because the dictionaries know what words mean by listening to what the acharyas say. Whatever Sridhar Swami says this word means, that's what it means. Whatever Srila Prabhupada says this word means, that's what it means. This is the principle. It's something we can take note of. So paribarhana means seva or worship. And finally, isha means to control something, to be valid, to order, or maybe to belong, to be right, to be in good working order, to be feasible. And Sridhar Swami glosses this as nasamartho bhavet. Naishet means he's not able to do it. So this is the idea here. Nobody is able to get out of this mahavimoha, and he glosses the term kritantapashat. Kritantapashat is kalapashat, the noose of time. Everybody gets lassoed. You know what a lasso is? In America, they had cowboys, and they swing a rope. They're so expert, in such a way that they throw this rope, it's got a circle in it, and then they pull hard and it gets the cow. And then they pull the cow wherever they want him to go. This is how they catch cows. The Lord's name is Govinda. Does anyone know what Govinda means? Huh? Yeah, he pleases the cows, or he pleases the senses. Go means senses, and vit means to know. According to Baladev Vidyabhushan, or actually Rupa Goswami, he says, Govinda also means that the Lord is understandable even by the demigods, the senses of the demigods, when they're purified by devotional service. Anyway, so that is the next point. The whole point of this verse is that the senses belong to Krishna, and they are actually meant to be used in, Krishna's service. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada, unlike any of his predecessors in this verse, he quotes absolutely the most appropriate verse that could be found from Narad Panchadatra. He says, Saravopadhi vinirnamuktam tatparatvena niramanam hrishikena hrishikesha sevanam bhakti ruchyate. And we know what this means. Saravopadhi vinirnamuktam. When one takes these senses are called hrishika, and employs them in the service of Hrishikesha, the one who actually controls those senses, Isha. Here we have the verb, Ishet, one might control. So the noun form, Isha, the person who is the controller, the person who actually owns and controls our senses. You cannot control your senses. Even if you are the most virtuous person and the most capable and disciplined person, you cannot control your senses. In the Kena Upanishad, there's a discussion there describing how is it that these eyes have the power to see? How is it that the nose has the power to smell? Or the ears have the power to hear? Who is it that invests these senses with that potency? We cannot do that. When the karma is turned off, then the senses cease functioning, and there's nothing you can do about that. Rest assured, that day is coming for everyone in this room. Every single person in this room is going to find that you cannot control your senses at a certain point. Even your mind, and that's the most scary one of all, isn't it? Because the mind is the guru of all the gross senses. If the central processing unit, so to speak, in the form of the mind, is not in good working order, then you can't do anything. There's no question of ihita, effort. There's no question of it. You are simply out of luck and you've got to wait for your next body, because at that time there's very little you can do to fix the mess that you've made of your life. for the previous, say, 60 or 70 years, assuming you even make it that far, because there's no guarantee of that either. Even in Vrindavan, people get killed. So, jabalagatanamay tapana vyapai tabalagakari hari seva, one Bhakti Kalin Kavi ne kaha. So, the idea is, when I was in Seattle, the devotees were distributing these little Maha Mantra cards, and it said, please chant this mantra while you can. While you can. I thought that was very insightful. Because it's for sure that you will no longer be able to chant one day. One day you will not be able to chant. Last week, I woke up one morning and was not able to breathe. When you can't breathe, there's nothing more important than breath. Your next breath. You've got a few seconds only. You've got to do something within that few seconds to make sure that you get another breath, isn't it? Just think of how much we're under the control of Maya. Duratyaya, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita. Okay, so anyway, this is the idea. This is Yamaraja's stringent rope. And we've all already been caught by that rope. The noose is tightened. And it's just a matter of time before we lose everything. So now, while the opportunity is here, Prahlad Maharaj therefore says, Komaram acharet pragnyo. A smart person should begin even before he's 6 years old. Komara. Young age. And he gave that example himself. Some of the greatest devotees, Dhruva Maharaj, the Kumaras, Prahlad Maharaj, they didn't wait even to grow up. And here we are grown up and we still haven't grown up spiritually. And some people never do because of kusanga, bad association, or karendriya, bad senses that we have already discussed. So, sarvopadhi vinirnamuktam tatparatvena nirmalam. When we take these senses that are actually controlled by Hrishikesha and we engage them in what he wants, then two things happen. What are they? Who knows? According to this verse, what two things happen when we engage our senses in the service of Krishna? Well, the senses actually get cleaned also. First thing is sarvopadhi vinirnamuktam. All the upadhis, all the things that we would entertain as being ourselves, all the conceptions and the egoistic notions that we have about who I am and therefore what I need to do and what's important and how long I have to do it. Adi, adi, adi. All these things, they're cleansed away. We become freed from the illusion, from the mahavimoha that we're presently absorbed in and impelled by. That's a great relief, actually, believe it or not. Although it has to hurt because we're envious. We want to be in this mind-body complex for a reason, and that reason is to compete with the Supreme Lord. That's why we have these material bodies. And by karma, we're forced to take one after another after another. We don't really question the process of death too much, or birth and old age or disease either. We're ready to tolerate those things, but the fact of the matter is that it's beyond our control. And we are so much absorbed in so many illusions. That's called mahavimoha in this verse. So, sarvopadhi vinirnamuktam. Those things all become washed away. That's called anarthanivritti. It's the natural side effect of bhakti. And then on the positive side also, we become tatparatva nirmala. We become just as transcendental and just as pure as is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Although still in small degree, and still as his constitutional servant. These are the two effects of bhakti. When we become purified, even these senses within this body are considered to be purified at that point. Like an iron rod placed in a forge will become iron red hot and can act just like fire. So these mundane senses, they can become purified by the process of devotional service. It's that powerful. So this is called bhakti. And this is the conclusion of this verse. Now, someone might naturally question, how do we take these mundane senses and actually employ them in the service of the Lord when the senses are mundane? The Lord is completely paratva nirmala, and the senses are aparatva anirmala. So where's the connection? Who knows the answer? How do we connect these senses? How do we actually engage them in Krishna's service? Because Krishna is completely transcendental and our senses at this point are completely mundane. So what do we do? Who knows? Huh? Working under the guidance of the spiritual master, which means to be connected with a parampara, which means to be engaged in devotional service. We cannot offer any service to Krishna in a contaminated state. He's not interested. He's got better things to do. He's not impressed by our cheating that we think is devotion. But the spiritual master, his representative, is so merciful that even though he sees what we're doing, still he engages us out of his causeless mercy, and because he accepts our service, therefore Krishna accepts their service. That's probably the best answer. But Bhagavad Gita also answers this question very nicely. What does it mean to engage these senses? First of all, let's look at the degree. In chapter 5, text number 17, Krishna says, tad buddhyas tad atmanas tad nishtas tad parayanaha gacchanti apunaravrittim jnana nirdhuta kalmashaha. A person is purified by engaging in devotional service such that he doesn't have to come back to this material world when he offers his mind, his intelligence, his very soul, his faith, his refuge, everything. These things are meant to be offered to the lotus feet of the spiritual master. Now, there's a very famous verse that probably many people in this room know. Kayena vacha manasendriyarva buddhyatmana va prakatesa bhavat karoma yat yat sakalam parasmai narayanayeti samarpayetat. This is from the Srimad Bhagavatam, 11th canto, chapter 2, text number 36. It means, in accordance with the particular nature one has acquired in conditioned life, whatever one does with body, words, mind, senses, intelligence, or purified consciousness, one should offer to the Supreme, thinking this is for the pleasure of Lord Narayana. And here, the question is also raised again in the purport. It's interesting. There's a slightly different answer given this time. He quotes Bhagavad Gita here. Yat karoshi yat ashnasi yat johoshi tadasi yat yat japasisi kaunteya tat kurushva madarpanam. Same idea. Whatever you do, whatever you eat, whatever you offer, whatever you give away, whatever sacrifice or austerity you do, make that an offering unto me. So the objection may be erased. In Sanskrit commentarial language, this is called purva pakshi. Someone always raises his hand and says, you know, Nanu syat etat parantu. That may be, sir, but he says, since our ordinary activities are performed with a material body and material mind, not by the spirit soul, then how can such activities be offered to the Supreme Lord, who is completely transcendental to the material world? How can such activities be considered spiritual? In answer to this, it is stated in the Vishnu Purana 3.8.8. Varnashram acharavata purushena parah puman vishnur aradhyate pantha nanyat tattosha karanam. One who wants to satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu, must accept the system of Varnashram Dharma and worship the Lord through the execution of his prescribed duties. This is for those who have not yet accepted a bona fide spiritual master in Vaishnava Parampara. In fact, in this Purana, in the very passage which is being quoted, Arva Muni explained to his disciple Maharaj Sagar, because Maharaj Sagar, the king who is responsible, feels that he has to somehow lead his citizens up towards Krishna consciousness. This is the concern of every member of ISKCON as well. So he asked his spiritual master, how can I take my citizens and gradually lead them towards pure devotional service? This was his answer. This was his answer. If you engage in dharma, then you become pious enough that when you, if by good fortune you meet a bona fide spiritual master, then you can hear appropriately, you can follow, you can accept, you can maintain. Usually devotees fall down. Most of them. In fact, in ISKCON history, we can even say that, I don't know most, but even many of the spiritual masters have fallen down since Srila Prabhupada left. This is a fact that we have to deal with. And Srila Prabhupada, it seems, he saw this. And therefore, in his later years, he gave maybe 80% of his instructions on this topic of Varnashram in the last 3 years that he was with us. Because he saw, this will enable someone to become sushrushu. Sushrushu. What does sushrushu mean? Eager to serve and also eager to hear at the same time. Some people, they like to serve, but they don't like to hear. Some people like to hear, but they're not willing to serve. It has to be both. And when one is purified in heart, then one can come to this platform. On that platform, then only one can take advantage of what one hears from the spiritual master, who will connect one and engage one in this process of devotional service. Rishikena, Rishikesha Seva. This is the idea. So it's very important. It's very important. Yesham Tvantagatam Papam Jananam Punyakarnamanam Te Dvanva Moha Nirmukta Bhajante Mam Drutavrataha. Krishna says, they who are freed from this Mahavimoha, from this Kritanta Pasha, they can engage in my devotional service because they're purified by being solidly fixed in piety. That is necessary. How so? Let us hear. I'll continue this purport. If one offers his work within the Varnashram Dharma system to the Supreme Lord, such work is counted as devotional service. According to one's swabhava or nature, one may work. And while working, everyone should meditate on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Jiva Goswami has pointed out, Kaminam tu sarvathaiva na dushkarma arpanam. One cannot offer dushkarma, or sinful, wicked activities, to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Such activities are never acceptable as offerings to the Supreme Lord. So one should not consider a devotee who is following the order of the spiritual master in this way to be an ordinary karmi. That's the conclusion. At least for members of ISKCON, that is the conclusion that I would recommend, because it is the order of the spiritual master. Now, today happens to be the disappearance day of Srila Abhiram Thakur. He's also called Ram Das Abhiram. He's also called Abhiram Gopal. He was a great associate of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. More specifically, he was an associate of Nityananda Prabhu. And he was a very powerful devotee, so much so that all sorts of rascals were afraid to even go near him. He was so powerful. It's said that he had a whip, and if he hit you with his whip, then you would instantly be benedicted with prema, love of Godhead. On the other hand, if he offered obeisances and you were a rascal, then you would die on the spot. In fact, it's said that if he offered his obeisances to any so-called Shalagram Shila that was actually not bona fide Shalagram, then that Shalagram Shila would immediately explode. So it, naturally in Nadia, he developed a reputation. And the mothers of the devotees were afraid to let him in the house. He might offer his obeisances to someone. So this actually happened. Nityananda Prabhu had 7 sons. And Ramdas Abhiram Thakur, he offered his obeisances and each one left. Each one died. It's kind of the continuation of this Sharadi principle that we get in Krishna Lila. And then when Virabhadra was born, he came and offered his obeisances to Virabhadra. He was so attracted by the beautiful child, and he just went to his lotus feet and he paid obeisances. 3 times he paid his obeisances, and all that happened was that the child woke up and he placed his toe into his mouth and smiled. And so he said, oh, finally we've got the real thing. And the same thing he did with his daughter, Ganga Devi, who was born later on. He offered his obeisances to Ganga Devi, nothing happened. He said, okay, here's the real thing. This is good. He composed some stotras in praise of these 2 great expansions as well. Virabhadra Acharya and Ganga Devi. He composed some prayers, Abhiram Das Thakur. So he was a great devotee and he was a great learned scholar. He had a highly qualified wife named Malini Devi, and he was living in a place called Karnakula, Krishna Nagar. And he was very famous in those quarters. He had a Gopinath temple there that he built. He was given instructions in a dream from this Gopinath deity that I'm in the ground here. You have to come and unbury me and install me in a temple. So he did that, and that temple is still there. At this time, probably right now, they're observing a festival in that place in honor of Abhiram Thakur's disappearance day. So we also can offer our respectful obeisances at the lotus feet of Abhiram Das Thakur and pray that he does not return our obeisances. And maybe pray also that he can crack his whip over our heads. And then we will be benedicted with pure love of Godhead. And then we can bypass this entire system of Varnashram Dharma and struggling through neophyte devotional service and working so hard. If you get mercy, that's called Kripasiddha, from a pure devotee, then everything is done automatically. Even a blind man can count the stars in the sky at night. Even a deaf man, deaf mute, can recite eloquent poetry. And even a lame man can hop over mountains if he has the mercy of the spiritual master. This is the verse composed by Sridhar Swami, the great Bhagavatam commentator. Mukam karoti vachalam pangum langhayate girim yat kripatam aham vande shri gurum dinataranam. So this is the disappearance day of Abhiram Das Thakur. He was a great follower of Nityananda and always associated with Virabhadra Goswami, Ganga Devi, a very staunch devotee in the line of Sakya Rasa, Sakya Prema. Anybody who's especially interested in Sakya Rasa, you should worship him today especially, and he will give his mercy. I'll stop here. Does anybody have any questions or comments?